So you're telling me you're going to take a big old bite of burger, not chew it, shove some beans in your mouth.
Yes.
Not
that's
chew
how
it.
I eat, man.
Shove some onions in your mouth, not chew it, and then say, oh, this is pretty good.
Yes, 100%. Welcome back to another episode of That Reload Life. If you're listening to this, you're in the right place. You guys, today we're back with the barbecue roundtable. I've got the Kitchen Whitelaw and I've got Farbecue. That's Jeremy Whitelaw and Matt Farr in the house.
Hey.
And as always, I have the beautiful and talented Miss Stacy.
What's up, guys?
So we are talking burgers, guys. Today we are going to be talking Burger 101. Things you need to have before and things you need to know before you cook burgers. Does that make any sense?
So we're going to do the before and the before?
But before you before it, you need to know
the things that make the best burgers. All the factors. There's so many different factors that can go into make an amazing burger.
Thank you for saving me.
How about
right
this?
There.
You're welcome.
We're going to talk about the things you know, the things you don't know, and the things you don't know you don't know.
Exactly.
Boom. Man.
That's one of my favorite sayings.
Man, so, today I'm not behind the helm of the computer. Matt is controlling all the audio today. Jeremy is becoming a better host than me.
I'm ready to start this podcast off with a beverage.
I am slowly being pushed to the side, but yes, we should start the podcast off with a beverage. Let's go. I'll get my here.
Now, I provided some of these beverages today, and it's my first time with this. We are having some White Claws with Whitelaw.
White Claws with Whitelaw.
Thank you for joining us today.
This needs to be like Between the Two Ferns or something like that.
So Jeremy has never had a White Claw, and his name is Whitelaw, so I said, let's have some White Claws with Whitelaw.
That's awkwardly tasting water.
Yeah, it's a...
Smells like Kool-Aid.
Did you try yours yet, Matt?
No, let's see.
I like it. It's refreshing on the lake.
It's like it's like I said earlier. It's
Jeremy,
kind of like
Jeremy's
LaCroix,
face is looks like strong disapproval.
I'm going to pass this over to Stacy and grab a real beer.
I will tell you this. Joel's sister's boyfriend was over at his parents' house last night, and he said, the White Claw is like, oh, wait a minute. Did I just taste some raspberry? Oh, wait, no, there it's gone. It's gone again.
Yeah. it dissipates quickly. It's just, hence why the gif I sent in our little thread of my disapproval of the White Claws.
We're all passing them over
I
to Stacy so she can drink them all.
White Claws sitting in front of me.
It's like you're drinking seltzer water and somebody's yelling the name of a fruit in the other room. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
That's exactly right.
It's a hint of a raspberry.
So now it is White Claws with Stacy.
There you go.
Anyway, well, so back to the burger basics.
Yeah, so, you know, there's... Burger is a cheeseburger or burger itself is staple Americana food. You know, there's 100 different ways that you can make a burger, and there's 100 different opinions about how you should make a burger. I think we've got some good opinions around this table. I personally think kind of burgers are my shtick. Like I love a burger because there's endless possibilities of what you can do with that vessel. You know what I mean?
And I have a fun fact here. Americans consume 14 billion burgers a year.
Billion?
Billion.
Dang, Mickey.
How many of those McDonald's is
about to say Mickey D's?
It is a huge percentage. What state do you guys think has the most burger joints?
New York.
Oh, Texas.
I actually heard this the other day, and I completely forgot what it was. It's like... somewhere in the Northeast, right?
Tennessee is a big, like a lot of burger joints, like Hardee's, McDonald's. They like will test market this area with new product launches and whatnot. But I'm gonna say Texas.
It's California has the highest number of burger joints, but it's like if you've had Of course you've had burgers out. Burgers in fast food restaurants and in restaurants do not compare to what you can achieve at home.
Absolutely. And Jeremy over
but
here.
I just want to take this opportunity to say that I'm going to crap on a lot of people in this episode. And so starting that off, can you really say what they're making in California? Can you call those burgers?
That's come true. On now. We don't know.
If you put soybeans in it, it's not a burger.
Impossible.
Dude, I know this is like maybe kind of off topic, but have you seen this crap that Burger King's doing?
The Impossible Burger?
Yeah, like there's no meat in it? Sorry, man.
Well, it's just a bunch of like fats and crap. Like it's been coming out that they're very, very unhealthy for you.
Really? Now people are liking it though. Like, I've heard really great reviews. I just refuse
it's guerrilla to eat one. Yeah. Guerrilla marketing, man. No.
It's like the, you know, there are vegans who are actually very healthy and they have that great mindset and stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's the vegans who are like, oh, I only eat potato chips and chocolate because I'm vegan. You know, like,
yeah.
And now we have Impossible Burgers for them.
Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah. So.
But the, so.
Should we start with what is a burger?
Sure.
What is a burger?
That is a great start.
What is it? What is the definition of a burger to you guys? I think we should go around with that.
I'm going to tell you something real quick. Burgers, do you know how burgers started?
Some guy put meat between two pieces of bread.
Wasn't that the town of Hamburger?
No, that's not the beginning. But Hamburg, I mean, Germany? This is just that is in the middle of the story. It started like in the 1500s with like the Mongol army people. They took lamb.
Oh, I do know this. Yeah,
they took lamb and mutton, and as they would stick it underneath their saddles, so and gross. As they were riding into battle, as they were boxing up and down on the meat, it tenderized and. It tenderized and ground the meat up. And so when they got into battle and they would eat, they had like a patty. Well, then it kind of traveled.
I'm sure they're not smashing a burger as they're cutting down their enemies.
Yeah. They're smashing their
so Marco Polo grabbed that and pasta.
Seat meat. So anyway, so then like, okay, yeah, down the line ends up Hamburg, Germany. And then in Hamburg, Germany was where a lot of the meats were getting exported, I believe, to like New York. And that's where like it just took off. But you know,
there was the Hamburg steak, which was like a tenderized steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. But the whole saddle thing like that. Cracks me.
Is that
up.
Legit?
It is.
Because the Mongols.
No, I've heard that story before. That is
the Mongols were some bad mamma jambas. Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, they didn't play around. And the fact it makes them even cooler that they
chomped up and down on
that. Well, they unintentionally created one of the greatest pieces of food. You know,
by sticking it in
known
the
to
butt.
Man. Mm-hmm. a butt burger.
It's seat meat.
Yeah. Well, because a burger never had
sounds so bad.
A burger never had a bun until it came to the United States.
Yeah.
Because it was the Hamburg steak is what came out of the Mongol thing, and that was just like a tenderized steak, you know, chopped up or whatever. And then eventually someone was like, hey, let's throw some bread on there.
I think it was somewhere in New York. I guess things were like getting imported
up in the
there.
Northeast,
and then from there, it just became an American staple.
I'm so impressed with your research right now. Dang. So impressed.
Yeah.
Is this a new segment? Facts with Stacey?
I have more. You just wait. So anyways.
So I'm excited to hear what you guys think burgers are, because I'm not a big... I love cheeseburgers, don't get me wrong, but it's not something I've ever been very good at making. And so I've already learned a lot just in our run-up to this show, you know, hearing about where burgers should be seasoned and stuff like that. So, why don't you tell us about what
you have a funny burger story that's coming out later in the podcast, right?
Do I have to bring that up?
we'll save that for later.
Yeah, I don't know about that, so yeah, it's coming out. Jeremy, kick it off, man.
What is a burger? 101. Like, what is that basic definition of a burger? And I think most people would agree that it is some sort of chopped meat, and I would expand that beyond beef, because you can have lamb burgers, you can put pork in them, you can have, you know, even like some sort of fish burger. Joel has a famous salmon burger. So it's some sort of chopped meat between bread. And that's really the basic of it, you know. And it can be expounded in a million ways from there. There are 100 different toppings and condiments you can put into it. But if you have that basic chopped meat between some sort of bread, that gives you a burger. But if you're not chopping it, if you have sliced beef or something, that's, you know, that's a sandwich, you know, it's a fine line.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a burger. When I think burger, it's a ground meat. It's red meat. You know, I know there's fish burgers and there's, you know, chicken and turkey burgers and all that kind of stuff. But
for
me, it is a red meat. Whether that's lamb, bison, venison, or beef, you know, something along those lines. That is ground up and has, you know, some sort of fat added to it, And, well, I say fat added to it because I, for the longest time, man, I was crushing venison burgers. And you're not going to...
There's no fat in the venison.
Well, yeah. If you go to a processor, you know, you go, you harvest the animal, you take it to a processor, they generally will put fat in the ground.
Where's the fat coming from? Yeah, just elsewhere on the deer?
No, what kind of fat? Yeah. They'll get like pork or, yeah. or beef either, fat.
Yeah, they usually like from pork butts. They'll chop up pork butts and put it in there. Some people use bacon and stuff. So yeah, if you get it from a processor, venison, it has the added fat.
But
venison fat is very waxy and not edible. Yeah.
So what's the difference in that and like sausage at that point then?
So you want to go into that?
Yeah, there's a difference because it's the grind.
It's emulsified. Sausage is an emulsified meat, whereas a grind, a chopped meat, is very still chunky.
And no seasoning so added to that. Grind.
So in my grinder, I've got different dyes, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I make sausage with, I will grind it out on a coarse dye, and then I'll take that, I'll go through a fine dye on there with whatever seasonings or fat I want to put into it. And then I go into a sausage press, which presses the meat really tight together and gives you that kind of that dense sausage like texture. Mm-hmm. But when if I got a venison that I'm grinding up and I'm putting fat in with it, it's kind of like a ground chuck.
Yeah.
Ground chucks is a coarse, mm-hmm. Grind. It's got,
which we can talk about burger buns now if we wanted to. Because you can get all sorted. If you can get any sort of blend, we're talking about venison now, which is kind of a custom blend. You can't buy that legally in the United States, a local one. You can buy it from overseas. But they're adding pork fat into that because pork has a very flavorful fat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going into it so that you have that inside of the burger because venison is extremely lean, like you said. Like if you were to cook that with just no fat in it, it would dry out and be
or it just crumbles apart. Now, a lot of times when we, because we eat a lot of venison, when we make a venison burger, initially when we would grind it up just totally lean. But when Joel would cook the burgers, he would add like to a pound of ground venison, he would add like half of a beaten egg chopped up bacon.
So some binders.
And that would hold the patty together and incredible flavor.
Yeah,
incredible
so flavor. It's, I'm a big fan. If I'm going to grind my own meat, I'm not going to add fat to it unless it's specific for something because I can always add fat to that meat. Mm-hmm. I can't take it out.
Mm-hmm. And with venison, we like it lean. Now, going back to beef, what's the perfect choice of ground beef for a burger?
Because that's a good question because you go to the grocery store and you're looking at 73. I'm not good at math. Help me.
Oh yeah. You go to the grocery store, there's ground sirloin, there's ground chuck, there's ground beef.
There's a bunch to talk about there. We actually had a conversation because we're going to be cooking some burgers later. Stay tuned for part 2 of the podcast.
That's right.
And, we had a conversation because going around, there's been E. coli, salmonella breakouts and ground beef and stuff because when you grind something, a machine is getting to the inside of that beef. Yep. Whereas if you were to buy a steak, you can cook a steak rare and eat it because when you cut into that steak, you are the first person to ever see inside that steak. It's not contaminated. It hasn't touched anything. It's virgin. But when you have ground beef, especially if it comes from some large producer out in the middle of the country, they're making millions of pounds of ground beef a day, you don't know what's going into
quality control.
Up to 1,000 cows can be in your ground meat package at the grocery store.
Wow.
They said they have found 1,000 different cows could have
in
been
one
in.
Package?
They say typical, they've done studies and stuff like that. I read up on a lot of this stuff. Typical is about 55 is mixed up in a package. But upwards to 1,000 cows could be mixed in that. So if there is one tainted meat, if the animal happened to get gutted,
one cow can screw everybody.
A turd got into there or something like that, like E. coli. Think about the mass amount of beef that gets.
Which that recall that just happened last month, it was 6.5 million pounds of beef products that were contaminated.
Because they can't trace it.
Because it was all this one huge processing facility, who knows where, and then it went out to this nationwide chains, and it just went everywhere. So that's where we got to talking yesterday, which I was telling Stacy, I recommend when you're getting your ground beef, never just go up to the shelf and grab one off the shelf.
No tube.
Yeah. Don't grab a tube. Don't even grab the ones where you can see it. Go to the butcher counter because all the stuff in the butcher counter is ground in store there. They take the chuck roasts and whatever kind you're getting, which we'll get into that, they take those specific cuts, they grind them up in store because they're a day or two old. They can't sell them anymore out in the counter or in the case and stuff. They grind them up right there in the store, and then you buy that freshly ground beef.
So when you saying that, so Publix, for instance, that's a pretty nationwide store. Mm-hmm. You go there, and they've got all these different brands of ground meat on the foam tray with the plastic on top of it.
Walk right past all those.
Right, but what if the Publix brand one? Is that...
Well, no, there are different ones. They'll have a Publix brand, which is made in a large facility and then shipped to all the Publix stores for the most of their stuff.
Right.
And you can buy that, and that's the same as the rest of them, and it just depends on the quality control they have at some random facility in some unknown state. But if you actually go up to the case and say, hey, I want to get some of this chuck here. Did you grind this in the store? And they'll say, yes, we did. Because they have chuck roast that they're selling there, and then once they get a day or two old, they'll start to gray a little bit on the outside, which just isn't appealing. It doesn't affect the meat. It just isn't appealing. Yep. They'll take them to the back, grind them up, and sell them that day. Mm-hmm. And I have an uncle who's a butcher in Florida, and so he would actually do this. I would walk up to him and say, hey, I want that chuck roast taken to the back and grind it up for me. And you can get it that fresh if you want to. Mm-hmm. And then you're just charged the per pound price of the chuck roast, which if it's on sale that day, you might get a great deal.
You might even get better. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Exactly. You can grab a package of ribeye and say, hey, I want you to grind this up for me and just send it through the grinder one time. You can tell them how finely you want it ground. Mm-hmm. They'll do whatever you want to do with your meat. You know, it's totally up to you. But that's kind of the basics of which ones I would choose. If you're going to get a prepackaged one, stay away from ones that just say ground beef on it, because you have no idea what's in those.
You don't know what cut of the cow it's coming from.
It could
from.
Be buttholes and ears and who knows. So if you're going to get it...
Chock full of peckers and lips.
Exactly.
I mean, it's beef at that point, right? So they can legally call it that.
It's something. So stay away from something that just says ground beef. Know what you're getting. You can get ground sirloin, which you know that's a sirloin. Sirloin is a steak. That's going to make something like a steak burger. It's really good. For fat and best taste, I would probably say like a ground chuck. You're going to find that in most grocery stores. The chuck has a lot of flavor. It's kind of a tougher cut, which is why we do like roasts and like pot roast or smoke it.
And why it's ground more often.
Yeah. So when you grind it, you're getting rid of the toughness because it's been ground. It's been pre-chewed up for you. And that's what a grinder is. So ground chuck is really great. You're going to find that in most grocery stores. And then there are also custom blends you can get, like local butcher shops. You can get, you know, short rib, brisket, chuck, whatever you want.
You know, like at that point, you know, because that's bringing back to the whole what is a burger. Mm-hmm. At that point, like, you know, not that it's a bad thing, but are you getting too bougie? Are you getting beyond what a burger really encapsulates?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
This is probably where we're going to differ, because I know we're going to make our own burgers later. And when you get into toppings and stuff. So if you're going to buy so there's a local butcher shop. You can get 2 8-ounce patties for like $9 of like this custom blend he does in shop. That's not crazy. $9 for two burgers?
That's like...
And they're big burgers.
Not even double what you would... No, yeah,
it's not crazy. So, you know, and that's a custom blend of chuck, short rib, and brisket.
Right.
And they're incredible. And you wouldn't need to add a bunch of toppings to that. You know, throw a slice of cheese on it.
Because you want to taste the meat, kind of like you want a steak. Yeah. You want to taste
but what... ideal, like for what Joel and I get, ideal, what we're making burgers tonight. Mm-hmm. We go to the store and we get ground chuck 80/20. Now you could go to the package and it'll say like ground chuck. If it says ground beef, it could be ground chuck, but it also could be something else. If it says ground chuck, it is ground chuck.
Yeah.
Now I'll say this, ground chuck for me, texture wise, is 80/20 ground chuck is fantastic.
That's the money right there.
That's the money. But if you're wanting to feed the masses, if you're wanting to get feed extra. A lot of people, you need to get extra or
extra what?
Extra meat.
What you would have found. It shrinks a lot.
Well, you're talking about patty size.
Patty size. Because, like, if I'm trying to feed a lot of people, if I want to have, let's say, I want a legit quarter pound burger, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to make a third, maybe even a bigger patty.
2 to 3 burgers per pound, typically. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say
probably. It depends on what kind of burger you're making.
I would say 3.
We're kind of going off on a tangent without finishing the... the yeah. meat topic.
Well, I guess that's you're right. That's true.
Like we haven't talked about the fat to lean ratio, that 80-20.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. Is if you want to feed the masses, mm-hmm. I almost feel like you spend a little bit extra money, but you get that that leaner burger.
Like a 90-10 mixture?
Yeah, because... Yeah.
What we're talking about, 80-20, 90-10, 70-30, that is the lean meat to fat ratio inside of the grind.
Yeah.
So when they're grinding it, they actually add fat to it from different parts, tallow, different parts of the cow, to that to get the right meat to fat ratio, and then you choose that. And you got to remember, fat is flavor, but it's also fat. So if you're on a diet, don't get like a 70-30.
Yeah.
Well, it's juice too, right? That's yeah. what's going to keep the burger moist is yeah. that fat. Yeah.
Exactly.
A
because
good juicy burger.
Just like a great steak, it's going to be like that intramuscular fat that dissolves into the meat, makes it really juicy, makes it really flavorful, and then, yeah. you know, makes just for a better eating burger. So, you know, if you get down to the 70-30, you're going to have a really juicy burger if that's what you're after. That's where that 80-20 is kind of the sweet spot. There's plenty of fat in there, but it's not overly.
So it's not 93.7.
Yeah.
So take Wagyu. Like, you know, if you're
familiar. No, that's where you're getting into bougie crap.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, like, let's just take a Wagyu steak, for instance.
That's okay? not a $9 burger.
No. That's as high as it gets. I mean, but it is so interlaced with fat mm-hmm. that you get this big honking steak and it will shrink up to, you know, a fairly small, you know, cut of meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's so much fat in it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if you get like a 70-30 blend of whatever type of meat you get,
they're going to shrink up.
You better
bit.
Make those patties pretty large. Mm-hmm. Now,
so that kind of so what you guys kind of talked about earlier where I messed up on some burgers and specifically that was with Wagyu burgers. Mm-hmm. And it was
oh, really?
I don't want to say. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to say the name of the company or anything because it wasn't their fault. But I had a company out west offer to send me some beef just to try out.
Sure.
And I was like, heck yeah, I want to try out some burgers, you know, or straight. Well, all kinds of cuts of meat that they yeah. sent me. And one of the things was ground up Wagyu. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, do I want to make meatloaf out of this? Do I want to make burgers out of this? I was like, I really want to taste it, so I'm going to use burgers. And so I patted it out, and I put it on my cooker. My cooker got way too hot, and then as the fat was rendering out of that, it caught fire, and I had a huge grease fire.
Oh,
and so mm-hmm. ended up losing like all the arm hair on one side. Yeah. You know, I was trying to get it put out, closing the lid down on it, and so it was partially because of the fat content. It was also because I had the heat out of control. But that's one thing to keep in mind: if that fat's rendering out, it's also flammable. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, what would happen is the outside would get nice, would get charred and cooked. Extra, and the inside wouldn't be finished, correct? Mm-hmm. Am I right?
And it's just going to shrink up to almost nothing.
But
like, you're going to end up with a crystal-sized burger because all the fat's going
to
cook out.
Yes, mm-hmm. But something to counteract that is, you know, if you're, depending on the unit you're cooking on, is to make oversized thin burgers when you got a high fat content.
Well, now you're talking about something like a smash burger, which this is when we're talking about sizing and stuff. So, like, for me, like a 3 to 4 ounce burger is perfect size because I smash them down incredibly thin because the best part of it is that char on the outside. So when you're using like a flat top
like
or a cast iron. Exactly.
Crispies.
So getting them as thin as possible, they're cooking through very fast. The high heat is very necessary. And then just flipping them once and that's it.
So let's roll that back. So we've talked about different cuts that can go into your ground. We've talked about different fat contents, mm-hmm. you know, and now we're talking about, okay,
let's make a patty.
Yep.
What is the right, because, you know, early on in my burger making, you know, career, you know, I would get a bowl and mm-hmm. I would take the meat and I'd spread it out in a bowl up the sides,
yep.
season it, and then I'd work the seasoning into the meat. Then I'd do it again. I'd season it again, work the seasoning back into the meat.
And then you had sausage.
Exactly.
Or meatloaf.
Right. But see, like, I didn't know that was a texture. I mean, the texture actually wasn't that bad. But, you know, when you're trying to make a patty.
Well, you made an emulsified meat there is what you did. You worked it so much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But what
this
I would do.
This is what's great, though, about this community. We have learned so much the last few years about how to better our cooking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And those burgers, I'm not going to lie, those burgers were phenomenal. But now, as we've learned all of these tips that we're sharing today, like, mm-hmm. they're even better.
Right. So, but making those patties, you can do a, you know, like we talked, just talk about a really thin patty. Do you pre-make the patty? Do you make a patty and you dimple it? Do you make a ball and then smash it? You know,
so let's talk about how we make our patties.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to do that. Do you want to go into like the smash burger first? That's the one I'll be making later.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have.
How do we form a patty? What is the technique of forming a patty before we?
So a great rule of thumb is work the meat absolutely as little as possible.
Yes. Right.
That'll toughen it up. There's a bunch of different techniques, and I've seen. Jay Kenzie Lopez Alt. Do you watch his stuff, Matt?
Oh, yeah. That's Serious Eats, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he did a test where he actually did that. He did one burger where he just, you know, gently grabbed the meat out of the package, loosely formed it into a bun, and then cooked it. And then the other one, he worked it and worked it and worked it and worked it, formed it into a patty, you know, and then cooked it. He took both of them, threw them both at a wall. The one that he barely worked just fell apart on impact, and the other one stayed whole, didn't even break in half, and it hit the floor.
Wow.
And that shows you how tender working the meat versus not working the meat will get it. So the less amount you work that meat, the better it is for that meat.
But it's got to be a soft patty.
It's got to be a balance, though, right? Because otherwise it's going to fall apart on you when you try to flip it.
Depending on what you're putting on it. Because like, I think on a grill, if you have something that's – you can't smash burger on a grill.
No, you can't smash burgers on a grate. Otherwise, you just have burger in your charcoal.
You need a cast iron skillet for that.
Yeah.
You can use a cast iron skillet.
Or
you can
flat
use
top this. Griddle.
So we're getting into like cooking methods with that. I'm just saying like working the meat as little as possible is always a great rule of thumb. Now it's what kind of patty are we going to form? A smash burger, for the sake of how easy it is to put together, you make a ball. Mm-hmm. I say 3 to 4 ounces is a great size. Some places go even as low as 2. Some places go all the way up to 5 or 6. But it just depends on what you want. I like to layer 2 burgers, and I don't want a burger that's so big I can't fit in my face. So a good 4-ounce burger is great. So that would just be a ball. You throw it on your flat top or in your cast iron skillet, and you smash it down as flat as you possibly can, and then you season it.
Yeah.
That's when you season it, because when you add salt, which is a primary seasoning in a lot of stuff, what that's doing is going to start pulling moisture out of the meat, stuff like that. You don't want to do that to a burger. It's not going to help the burger at all. So seasoning at the last minute is not like a steak where you can salt rest it or whatever.
Nope. Well, what about the last minute? So the surface then is not seasoned.
The burger is so thin that you only season one side. It's not like
I've
a big
seen people where they form their balls. And then, sorry guys, they form their balls. Mm-hmm. Then they season the tops of the ball. Which how much is really going to land on top of a ball?
That's normally what I do.
Yeah,
and maybe that's where I'm messing up.
So no. I mean, like, that's really a preference thing. Like, if you're making like 30 burgers and you just season all the balls real quick and then start throwing them on there, that's perfectly fine. I like a little bit more seasoning, so I smash first and then season.
That's a really great idea.
That's a very minor.
See, so I season the top of the ball, and then as I'm smashing,
let's go,
and I flip it and then season the other side. So that way, it maybe ends up with a little more seasoning on
the cooked side.
Yes,
yeah, that's perfectly fine. I mean, like, that's not like
you said you were going to ruffle feathers. I wanted you to call me stupid.
No, I don't see.
I can't believe you would season a burger like that.
You only season one side.
No.
I've heard that before.
There's a special place in hell for your kind. It's not that big a deal. When you start throwing eggs and 37 toppings on a burger, like, I mean, that's.
See, I don't like a burger with eggs on it.
Jeremy's not going to like all my toppings.
I love a good egg on a burger. But I don't see anything.
No, I mean egg in the burger meat where you're working out.
That's meatloaf again.
We only do that with venison.
Yeah.
Well, because you have to have a binder. But I don't see anything wrong because we do the ball, the smash burgers.
Yep.
But I'll pick that whole ball up and I'll season the piss out of the whole ball.
Because there's
not that much time between the time I season it till it goes on the flat top.
So like the reason I wouldn't do that is just because of like order of operations. It'd be a pain in the butt to do. I have all my balls formed. They're on a plate or something. I go out there. I take it with a spatula. I don't even touch the meat. I smash it down. I season it. I go. It's just faster that way for me.
Yeah.
So it's really just like how much time do you want to spend? Do you want to spend like 20 minutes like meticulously seasoning the entire outside of this ball?
Well, you know how I cook and how I season. There's no meticulousness.
Yeah. there's like seasoning in the toilet in there because you're so crazy with it. But
does your – so if you're using a coarse – blend like Magnum or something like that to season your burgers, and you season it on the side that's going to hit the griddle first. Do you risk your seasoning burning at that point?
Well, I think it depends on the seasoning that you're using.
We use double action usually.
Really?
For our burger.
Double action.
I have never had a double action burger.
Double action burgers. Yeah, it's good.
It's kind of sweet, so I would have never thought that.
Well, the little bit of smokiness that it brings in there is good.
It does a little barbecue burger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but I want to add something real quick.
Go ahead.
So, ideally, what you want with a smash burger, what makes it different than just throwing a burger patty on your grill, is you want to smash it so all surfaces possible can be touching that griddle, so that, like Jeremy said,
so you're getting the crispiest burger ever.
All that flavor, all that, it's cooking in its own grease. So when you stick it on a grill, all the juices are dripping. But when you are having that on the on a flat top and you smash it and everything's touching that grilling surface, all that flavor is what it's cooking in. So
exactly,
that is what the difference is for that.
Yeah, well, and I'm picking up what you're putting down. Actually, what both of you putting down is, you know, when you season just the top the top of the ball, and then you smash it and you flip it, putting that seasoning on that, even though it's cooked already, it's still flavor added in. You know, it's going to melt into the top of that burger.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, like, the smash burgers I make are a quarter inch or less thick. They're very, very thin. So seasoning two sides, that's a lot of seasoning for not a lot of meat. You're talking about 3 ounces of meat. Like, if we're cooking a big old tomahawk that's 24, 30 ounces, you're going to season both sides, of course. Like, that's a ton of meat, you know? We're talking about pounds of meat, not small ounces.
Yeah.
All right, so let's we got to get past this one real quick.
Okay, so that's smash burgers. Next, we're going to talk about, like, a burger on just a regular Weber grill.
Well, yeah, but let's talk about, like, actual patties, you know?
Handle it the least amount of time.
Right. But, you know, I know that...
That's true for all patties.
All patties. Mm-hmm. But you like really thin.
I like a thin patty.
A thin patty. Or my kids like a thin patty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like a good, you know, third pound, you know.
He likes a thick burger.
I like a heavy
that's
burger.
That's like a pub-style burger.
Yeah, that's what I like. But,
Now, years ago when we would make burgers, we would make our patties, you know, mix the seasoning in and whatever, and they would turn into almost balls.
Yes.
And
so,
why?
So that's what I was going to next. So, like, if you're cooking a burger on, like, a regular style grill, a gas grill, a charcoal grill, whatever, you actually have to form a patty. You can't smash it into the grate because it's just going to obliterate it. So, again, handle the meat as little as possible. Like, if I'm grabbing, like, let's say I have a pound of meat and I want to make three burgers out of that. You know, I get a package, it's a pound of meat. What I'll do is I'll take the strands of meat, divide it into thirds, and then round that gently into a patty. You're going to want to go quite a bit thinner than what you think you need to go with that patty. I'm going to press it out on a cutting board or something so I can get it nice and flat with my hands, round it up very gently, but I'll make it bigger than the bun that I want to put it on because it's going to shrink up.
Yep.
And then another little trick is just to push your thumb right into the center so it has a little bit of relief because that's where it's going to expand the most is right there in the center. Put a little thumbprint right in the middle of the burger. And that's it.
And I always thought that was crap. But the more that I have read about it and, you know, that we have piddled around with
now
it,
listen,
like, it is legit. Like, it is legit. Your thumb but in there.
If your patty, though, if your preformed patty is 3/4 inch thick and then you put a little dimple in there.
You got a hole. You got a donut.
Well, it's not gonna do much. Yeah. I mean, you've got to get that burger down to an appropriate level.
Yeah.
But that
keeps it from plumping up in the center so you don't have this meatball.
How do you feel about a burger press?
I mean, if you...
I mean, literally, press it.
If you're running a restaurant and you got to press out 300 burgers, absolutely. For someone at home who's making five, six burgers, like, no, it's just an extra thing in your kitchen you're not really
and you have to clean it.
Yeah.
So
we have used it when we cooked for, like, 50 or 60 family members.
Yes, but when I make burgers, I will do a reverse smash burger. Now,
now we're getting pretentious.
I'll make a ball and I will just take that. I'll take the ball and I'll just smash it.
Yep.
And then I might clean up the sides a little bit.
Yep.
Same and thing. Then I lay it down.
Yeah.
You know,
just handling it as little as
and
possible.
And then you season the outside.
Yeah.
Right before you put them on the grill. So, like, I have them on a cutting board ready to go on the grill. The grill is heated up, ready to go. Then I season them and put them right on the grill.
And I want
to
know why.
because you're not resting them. It's not a big steak. Same thing with the smash burger. You're not seasoning them ahead of time.
Because
if you put salt, it's going to draw moisture out of the burger, make it drier. It's not like, you know,
you don't want to season the burgers and let them sit for
2 hours.
Like Matt has the salt rest method for like a big tomahawk steak. And what you're actually doing is you're pulling moisture out of the very outside of it so that you can get a nice crispy sear on the outside of that steak. A burger is so thin and such a little amount of
porous.
Meat. Yeah, you're going to pull all the moisture out of it. And that's not what you want.
And I'm telling you, man, like, you know, it's, there's doing the stuff we're talking about is can make your burger next level.
Yeah.
When you're cooking for people. I mean, it's it just you can put all kinds of different crap on it and make which I listen. I love a burger that's got layers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like different flavors, but when you are cooking for the masses. When you're cooking for, you know, a party, it's going to be hamburgers and cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. So what needs to shine? The meat.
Yeah.
The
Which,
most.
If you're going to take all these suggestions to heart and really work on your burger game and just make this outstanding, phenomenal, delicious patty, you don't need all that stuff. It's going to go to waste. It's going to get lost. I was telling you guys before the podcast, if you have more than three toppings on a burger, you're an asshole. And that's true. Because
and it's going to get good, guys, because we all have some excellent burger recipes coming up.
Yeah, that's podcast number two. Stay tuned later for that.
Try not to burn my arm here off this time.
But if you're taking into account the meat you're using, the fat to lean ratio there, how you're cooking it, you're doing a smash burger, you have the right temperature, you know, you want to cook these at a very high temperature because they're very thin. If you're taking all these things into account, you don't need a lot to go along with that burger. All those toppings are just going to be lost. You're going to have this monstrous mess that's just completely unnecessary.
Okay, so I want to say this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have a burger that I've made in the past. I've not made it in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we had just gotten home from the hospital with, was it Reed or Jace?
I don't even know where you're going with this, so I don't know.
The Beast Burger. Anyways, Reed. It was from our second kid. And I wanted to cook something. I wanted to get, it had been a hot minute.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But it was a venison cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
That had mushrooms, mm-hmm. jalapenos,
mm-hmm.
baked beans, crispy fried onions on it, and was it aged cheddar?
I don't know, but it sounds absolutely disgusting. And I was like,
it looks
fork and knife.
Sounds like you still had pregnancy cravings and you made a burger to go along with it.
I was recovering from a C-section and he plopped that in front of me, and I thought, that looks disgusting. And I took a bite, and we were watching Pretty Woman. We had Pretty Woman on, and I was like,
But going back to what you just said, if you have to use a fork and knife on it, is that still a burger?
Because I'm a lady.
It's a hamburger steak with a bun.
I'm a lady.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is
he pushed his sleeves up.
No, I mean, like,
dripping.
I think burgers are supposed to be burgers supposed to be coming through your fingers. It's supposed to be freaking messy, and like
mushrooms were like shooting off to the side.
Beans. It's the baked beans that
I
are
think,
throwing.
I think this is where me and you differ. Is I think you like big flavor, but
he
more
is classic
style.
I'm a purist with burgers.
Right.
He's a
and
purist.
And for me, I look at a burger and I go, I can do all kinds of shit.
All
with
these
this
elements.
Thing.
Now, what about you,
Matt?
It's
like a blank canvas.
It is. It's like it's a blank canvas.
You like some different?
You know, I'm going to hold mine until the part two of this.
Hey,
you guys see for yourself.
You've been quiet today. You need
I'm learning here. So I know not to buy ground beef, buy ground chuck instead. Mm-hmm. You know, but as far as method, like I said earlier, this is something I've failed at over and over again. So I'm really looking forward to a lesson in person from you guys here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just FYI, that's the Beast Burger.
Yeah, show that to Jeremy.
Yeah, so that makes like a cool Instagram. Stacy's showing me an Instagram picture
like
of the Beast Burger.
But it's
right
good.
Now.
It's good.
It makes,
good.
It makes
good
a good picture, but like this is what I'm saying. Like if
those
you have an amazing
onions.
Burger,
yeah.
Would all of those toppings made into some sort of side not be better so you can enjoy two things?
I don't
that
know.
That is
saying.
Controversial because... And I totally get what you're saying. I totally get it.
Like, it's too much. Like
and
you're going to be
appreciate...
losing things on those bites. Like, you're going to be like, I don't taste hamburger here. I taste baked beans and something else.
I would tell you Julie would not eat that burger because she doesn't like her food to touch.
Gosh.
She wants it all sitting on separate parts of the plate.
I think I'm middle ground on that.
Sorry.
I'm middle ground
on that.
I'll
try it.
You're middle ground.
I'm middle ground on that because
I'm turning your wife against you here.
No. I can totally see what you're saying, like appreciating the classic traditional burger, but there is room for both in this world.
So here's like my ultimate burger is like this great patty that's been smashed, been cooked properly, super crispy. Throw a slice of really good cheese on there, not crappy American process like Matt likes.
Screw you, man. Screw you.
Yesterday, I took 6 hours making a brioche Hokkaido milk bun buns for these burgers. So a bun, meat, and a slice of cheese. And like when you bite into that, you're like, no, like it'd be great to have like maybe a side with that or something. You know, some of these baked beans with mushrooms and onions and all sorts of stuff with it. But like putting that on the burger would take away from the burger. It wouldn't add to it.
And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that.
Because
but
I'm
then
right.
there's the other side. Yeah. But then there is the other side where good combination.
We'll call that the bottom side.
Layers of flavor.
Layers
of flavor. I mean,
I see
it. I see it.
Good combinations. There's two.
And textures too. It's not just flavor.
That's where I was saying, like, if you have more than three ingredients, like, you're having too many layers, and then some of those layers are getting lost. If you threw another layer in there, would that add to the overall?
But are you, though, if I make a soup that has, you know, 10 different layers of ingredients in it, but those ingredients themselves really meld well together,
mm-hmm.
you know, is that not kind of the same concept with
a
burger?
You're talking about a soup where everything is emulsified and brought together and put together, but with a burger, it's not. You have layers. You can only get your mouth around so many
layers at one time.
Let
me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The Beast Burger. Okay, the one we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Joel's putting
boxing gloves
on. If I
had onion rings on a side,
yep.
baked beans on a side,
mm-hmm.
and then I had the aged cheddar burger with mushrooms and jalapenos on it,
mm-hmm.
and I took a bite of the burger, mm-hmm. and then the beans, and I put all that in my mouth at once, what's the difference than putting it on the damn sandwich?
So you're telling me you're going to take a big old bite of burger, not chew it, shove some beans in your mouth,
yes.
not
That's
chew
how
it.
I eat, man.
Shove some onions in your mouth, not chew it, and then say, oh, this is pretty good.
Yes, 100%.
When I eat, I have to have... He has two handfuls.
I eat all elements, and I put them together.
That's why
I like vessels. I think that's like, for me, like I love burritos, I love tacos, and I love burgers
Buns.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's... I'm like a freaking animal when I eat because I want that crunchy, I want that sweet, I want that spicy, I want all of it in my mouth at the same time.
He has two things clutched in both of his fists.
When I go to freaking Arby's, I take a bite of Arby's sandwich and I shove curly fries in my mouth as fast as possible because I want all that.
You are an animal.
So I think it's safe to say you have an extremely large mouth. Big mouth over there.
I just came with that pen.
Wait, that's not dirty. Oh, crap.
I think there's only one way to settle this, and that's going to be to make some burgers and try them.
Is it time?
And compare.
You know what, dude? I think you're right. I think we're going to go ahead and end this episode, you know, because I'm about to come across the table on Jeremy here. And
I can't help with that. I'm just a better man.
That might be.
Let's get out there and
Shots
let me kick your butt.
I was going to say, that might be a big mistake because he's got like 4 or 5 inches on me.
Whoa.
Height.
Whoa.
Not in my pants. Height.
What are we comparing here?
Okay.
Is this a burger contest? Or a sausage contest?
Mine's more of a patty or the link.
And I am the awkward female sitting here.
All right. On that note, guys, stay tuned. We're going to be putting out the second episode of this where we're all going to make our own versions of our favorite burgers.
And share the recipes.
And share the recipes that we're going to compare and contrast on air here with That Reload Life. We'll let y'all get out of here. Listen, remember this, guys. If you want to save some change on reloading your own food, making your own burgers, use coupon code ThatReloadLife. Save you a little bit of money at ReloadRub.com. As always, love hard, live well, and always
reload.
All right, we love y'all. We'll see you on the next episode.